Welcome to Inside Central Oregon, a weekly public affairs program from Horizon Broadcasting Group. The opinions expressed on this program are from our guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff and management of this station.
Hi, it's Dave Clemens, and in studio with me, I have my friend Derek Abbey. He's the president and CEO of Project Recover. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dave. Thanks for having me back.
Congratulations. You guys just opened up your new headquarters here in Bend.
Yeah, we're super excited about it. Super excited to be working here in Bend, and we're happy that people can just come by our office anytime and see that this work is happening every single day in their backyard.
Where were you headquartered before?
Well, we were working here in Bend, but we didn't have an office. So, but we continue to grow, and we just got to a point where it's not fair to be using everybody's garage and things like that. So we created this central location here in Bend, which we were already working here, but now we have an actual office here that people can see and know that the work is happening.
And what do you guys do at Project Recover exactly?
So our mission is pretty basic. We search for Americans missing in action from our previous wars to provide answers to families that have waited far too long. And we do proactive research, search missions, documentation efforts, and recovery in both the underwater environment and the terrestrial environment to locate and recover those service members to get them back to the United States.
So someone contacts you and says, hey, my Uncle Bill disappeared during the Gulf War.
Right.
And this is what we know. This is where he was last reported to be, and maybe his plane went down or whatever. That's where you pick it up.
That's where we pick it up. Many times we're doing this research on our own, and we're building out these cases, but also families reach out to us all the time. Sometimes they have information. Sometimes they don't have information. If we have any information related to that case, we'll share that with them. And of course, if they have information, we'll collect that as well and create a case for that individual. Many times the information they have isn't enough to conduct a search mission, but you never know when more information might emerge that'll allow us to take action on that case. So we always encourage people that might have an MIA in their family to contact us so we can ensure that we open that case file. And should we have information down the road or discover more, we'll of course share that with them.
300, is that what you said earlier? You and I were talking before we went on the air. About 300 people have been recovered by you guys.
We have located and documented sites associated with more than 300 missing Americans, and that number continues to grow. Just a couple weeks ago, we found a couple more sites in the Federated States of Micronesia. But of that 300, 70 have been declared buried at sea by the United States Navy. They're assumed to not be disturbed, so they're going to rest where they lay in accordance with Navy tradition. 28 have been recovered and repatriated back to their families, and the remainder of that number is in some sort of open status, meaning a recovery has been conducted and they're going through the identification process now, or recovery needs to be conducted to recover those remains and get them back to the United States. And those numbers continue to grow each and every month. And something we're very, very proud of. But there's more than 80,000 American service members who are missing in action, and we're doing everything that we can to get that number as close to zero as possible.
So you're saying, not always, but sometimes a body is involved. You actually will find someone's remains?
Yeah, to account for them or officially account for them, we need to find some sort of remains. And typically, you know, going back to World War II or a conflict like that, or really any of our most recent conflicts, pretty much all that remains are skeletal remains or osseous material. So we'll collect all that in our recovery effort, as well as any artifacts that might help with an identification, dog tags, rings, watches, things like that. All that is collected, and that's all that's collected. And then a chain of custody is created that'll bring those remains back to the United States. They'll go to a lab either in Hawaii or in Nebraska that's run by the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency, and they'll do a blind identification to ensure that no mistakes are made. Once that's completed, they'll inform the families, and they'll celebrate and memorialize that individual as the family declares.
Now, when you're looking for somebody, I mean, you've got to get whatever local government to at least say, yeah, this is okay, right?
Of course, yeah. We do all this work overseas. We've been to 25 different countries, and we have to get the permits that allow us to do that work in those countries. We couldn't do it without the support of the host nations that we're working in. But we've discovered that when we go to these countries and they, you know, they find out what we're doing and they realize that we're not looking for gold or treasure or something like that, that we're looking for people, very quickly a values overlap occurs and it becomes their mission as well. This is where the fighting took place. These service members gave their life many times in protection of those countries, and so they want to help as much as they can, even when we're working in countries where it might have been a former enemy.
That's what I was going to ask, was about the enemy situation.
Well, no longer enemies, and it becomes their mission as well. Even though this is uniquely American, we're the only country that proactively searches for our missing, there's a human element that attracts all sorts of people to it. So the vast majority of our members are Americans, but we also have members all over the world, Germans, Japanese, Palauans, all over the place. And they really take pride in the work and put forth a lot of effort, and we wouldn't be able to do it without them.
Are there some countries that are more difficult or that are considered not quite as friendly to us? I know maybe an airplane went down over Iran, maybe North Korea. Those are the first ones.
So there's a number of losses in North Korea, and the geopolitical status that we're in right now really prevents us from doing work in that location. So maybe someday that'll change. But right now we're not working in North Korea. So we only work in the countries that are friendly to us and welcome us in. Sure. Sometimes it's just too difficult to work in some of these countries. And so we just prioritize other places where we can work to get that work done.
You got to get Dennis Rodman on your team. he could probably get you in.
That's a good idea. Maybe we'll try it out.
Have you been in have you ever gotten approval in a hostile country?
No, we haven't even tried. There's so much work to be done in other countries where it's easier to work in that we haven't even tried to work in a place like North Korea. It's just, like I said, there's more than 80,000 American service members who are missing. There's plenty of places to work all over the world where we can have success without having to worry about...
Be safe.
How it might impact... You know, this diplomacy and things like that, even though our work has a significant impact on diplomacy in the countries that we're friendly with. And as a small organization, it's kind of crazy to see that. But many times, you know, like I'll use Palau as an example. We've been going there for years. We have relationships all the way from the landowners up to the president of the country. He always wants to know.
What country is this?
This is Palau in the South Pacific.
There's I don't even know what country that is.
Well, yeah, that's not unusual. A lot of people don't know where it is, but a lot of fighting took place there in World War II.
Okay.
And so they take a lot of pride in the mission. They believe that they have their country because of the sacrifice made by American service members, and they want to help us accomplish the mission. And so they're very, very supportive, and the president and all the leadership in that country really helps us advance this mission.
Where are we missing the most people? Where are you getting the most suggestions
from? So that 81,000 breaks down to about 72,000 from World War II, 7,000 from Korea. Now less than 1,600 related to Vietnam, and then a handful of others related to Cold War, Desert Storm, and things like that. So the vast majority are in places like the South Pacific. A lot of them are deep water losses, which it's going to take a lot of advancements in technology to find and recover those service members, and then from there to Europe. But really, it's everywhere. So we went to Africa last year, where we worked on a case off the Ivory Coast. We do work in the United States, believe it or not. There's more than 20,000 American service members who are missing from training accidents that are lost off our shores and our mountains and our Great Lakes. They're not designated missing in action, really because of an administrative error, in my mind. They aren't associated with a conflict, but obviously just as missing to their family and loved ones. So we put forth efforts to locate them as well. So we're working on a case right now off the coast of Texas related to a B-52 that has 8 service members on it that we're hoping to locate and recover and get them back to their family. And they were lost in 1968. Their spouses are still alive. Children are still alive. So we want to provide answers to them.
Now, the challenge there is that one's probably in the water.
It's in the water, yes.
Right.
Yeah. But we're used to working in the water. We do a lot of great work in the water. And I've had a lot of success in finding these sites, and we're hoping we can find that one too.
Have there been land ones in the U.S.?
Yeah. So
like in a desert or something?
Well, 2 years ago we were up in the... on the western slope of the Cascades in Washington State, where a Navy aircraft was lost and the crew associated with that aircraft. So, there's losses all over the country, and people think, gosh, it just seems like we'd have run into them by now, but it's not the case all the time. And so whenever we get information related to one, we add that to our caseload, and if we can put forth the resources and the people to do a search for it or locate it, we're going to do so.
You guys are good at finding people. How come no one's asked you to find out the whole D.B. Cooper thing?
Yeah, that's a good one. Nobody has come forth and asked us about the D.B. Cooper thing yet, but that's outside of our mission a little bit. So, right. But you never know. Who knows?
Well, maybe if anyone's going to find them, it's going to be you guys.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd be curious to see if we could advance that case a little bit more.
Right. Well, congratulations on your new headquarters.
Thank you so much. We're excited about it.
Yeah. And if people want to learn more, they can go to your website.
ProjectRecover.org. Or if they're right here in Bend, they can swing by the office at 803 Southwest Industrial Way and just pop your head in and say hi, talk to the team. We'd love to have you visit.
All right. We've been talking to Derek Abbey. He's the president and CEO of Project Recover. Thanks again.
Thanks, Dave.
You're listening to Inside Central Oregon, a weekly public affairs program from Horizon Broadcasting Group.